Open up your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There's some things we're going to notice about this passage, and it's going to help us in the days to come. Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Since all of us have sinned, and sin is the result of temptation, then all of us are tempted. And that's nothing usual. Everybody is tempted. And even Jesus, though he never sinned, was also tempted in all points as we are. We read that in the book of Hebrews. And the Bible definitely teaches that we can face our temptations and overcome them if we truly love God. And as we've said time and time again, if we give in to temptation, we've made the choice to do so. There's none of this argument that, well, the devil made me do it, or I couldn't help myself, or all my friends were doing it. No, there is no excuse for sin. And if we do sin, it's because we chose to do the sin. And it has always been that way. Now, we can bear our temptations. We have the ability. God promises that we have that ability. Now, sometimes, depending on your circumstances, you might have a tendency to lean a certain direction, and when a temptation comes up in that direction, you head off for it. But we can bear the temptations. And the American Standard says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear." And then, of course, we read that such as is common to man. Simply means that no temptation is so unique, so powerful, that we can't overcome it. I mean, very simple understanding lesson there. And we have to overcome it because, really, James 1:12 tells us that God doesn't tempt anyone, but we're tempted by our own lust, by our own desires. And so the example of Jesus shows us this. Hebrews 2 talks about the fact that he is common, he understands us because he walked among us. And then in chapter 4, he says he was on all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Oh no, Jesus was never tempted with pornography. He was never tempted with lying. He was never tempted to do this. That disagrees with what the Bible says. The Bible says he was tempted in every way we are. Now, a lot of temptations come because we put ourselves in the wrong place. And so, if we're in the wrong place, yeah, there's going to be a lot of temptations. So, as we look at this, dealing with temptation isn't about us alone, but about looking to God for strength. And if we have that attitude of looking to God for strength, then yes, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to, as Al prayed, not going to lean our own understanding, but we're going to seek God's ways, put our trust in God. And that's where we find the strength. We have the strength to withstand. And Ephesians 6:10 talks about put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand all the wiles of the devil. And the devil is doing anything he can to keep you out of heaven. He's doing everything he can to keep you out of heaven. And so we have to be able to be mindful that he's throwing temptations out in front of us all the time. He's trying to make us stumble, and that's not good. So we need help. And yes, God is there to give us that help. And when we approach temptation with the attitude, well, I'm only human, or I can't help myself, then we're defeated before we even get started. And that's the way a lot of people are. They don't have the courage to stand up and say, God says no. Remember what Joseph did? She lunged at him and he took off, left his garments behind. Because God said no, and she wouldn't want to take no for an answer. But Joseph had his mind made up already. He was not going to sin against God. See, God is faithful. That's what the passage tells us here. And Paul says that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So in other words, God has made us a promise regarding temptation, and God is always faithful to keep his promises. None of his promises fail. We know that. And yet, we also understand, as we studied Wednesday night, every promise of God has a condition attached to it. There's no promise which he ever made which doesn't have a condition attached to it. And so he's made it possible, and he keeps his promises. And this God to whom we look for strength is the God of our salvation, who doesn't want anyone to perish in sin. He doesn't want people to be lost. But yet, if we choose to be lost, he's going to let us. And that's true. Now, some universalists teach, well, since God doesn't want anybody to perish, he's going to save everybody. Now, would that be fair? Would that be right? Absolutely not. And so, he wants us, and so because he wants us to be saved, he's given us all the tools we need. He's given us his word. He's given us everything in this Bible that's necessary for our salvation. We don't have to wonder what is still lacking. If there's something lacking, it's because we haven't applied ourselves fully to it. Just like the man who said, well, I did all these things from my youth up. Jesus said, you lack one more thing. Told him to sell all your goods and give it to the poor. And the guy went away unhappy because he was a wealthy man. So anyway, there's always more as human beings. There's always more we can do for God. All right, God's faithfulness must be met by trust and obedience on our part. And that's what we have to do. We have to apply the trust in God. And God is faithful. We know he's not going to lie. He's not going to tempt us. He is not going to deny himself. We have scripture tells us that. And his word, his grace, teaches us about how we're supposed to live. And so we must trust in God, as Proverbs 6, 3, verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. All right, only by doing this can we benefit from God's faithfulness. And that's true. God is faithful, and he's going to take care of us. He's not going to lie to us. He's not going to mislead us or anything like that. And God is going to remain true to himself. That's why he gave us the word in written form. It's not that we have to take somebody else's word for what God said, and we don't have the modern day prophets. Well, there's modern day prophets out there, but they're all false teachers. And so God has already spoken. And that's what his word is. He has spoken the truth. See, the temptations themselves may not be removed, but Paul says that God with the temptation will also make the way of escape. And it can be found by those who look for it. And that's true. If you look for the way of escape, it is always there. And believe me, if you're walking down the street and you see the bully walking towards you, and know that bully is going to harass you, what are you going to do? I'm going to get out of that guy's way. You're going to cross the street. You're going to turn around, go the other direction. You're going to sneak into the door of a merchant there and wait till the burly passes by, then you can get back and continue on your way. You're going to find some way to avoid that, right? Well, when sin comes our way, do we always do that? Do we look for the way out of it? Or do we just, oh, what's the use? I'm only human. I mean, you see where that's taking us. The way of escape is only available to those who look for it. See, if you really don't care, you're not going to be looking for a way of escape. Oh, goody, I get to do something. And it's just like fulfilling your lust. You know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what it's about. God will provide the way of escape. And the example of Jesus gives us courage in knowing that we can resist the devil as he did. And if we look to his example, what did he do there? Matthew 4. The devil would come up, abuse and misuse the scripture and throw it at Jesus. Jesus said, here's what the scripture says. It is written. It is written. It is written. Three times he did that. And what should we be doing when the temptation to do this? It is written. We have to take that. We have to understand. Jesus gave an example. Jesus did not give in to temptation. It also shows the value of having a knowledge of God's word to help us in temptation. Because Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word I've implanted in my heart that I might not sin against you." People who don't know God's word and don't know that certain things are a sin, they're going to be committing sin, those things. You know, even Paul wrote, "I would not have known covetousness if God had not said, thou shalt not covet." And so that's just the way of humanity. Unless someone tells you it's wrong, hey, everybody else is doing it, I'll do it. I mean, there's so many things in our society that are wrong in the sight of God, but yet our society is doing it so much, they just treat it as normal. And they say, well, you got to accept that. That's just normal behavior. It is not normal behavior. It is sin in the sight of God. And knowing what God says about everything will help us to make sure that we don't sin. Or we make every effort not to sin. And that's where we should be. Jesus teaches us that prayer can be a defense against the attacks of Satan. And that's true. We need that prayer. Pray, pray, pray is what Jesus said. Pray for protection. And we must always be praying for protection from Satan and what he's going to throw our direction. Because if he fails trying one method, you can be sure he's going to be trying another method to get us to fail. See, if we seek spiritual maturity, wisdom, and discernment as we walk life's path, God has promised that he will provide a way of escape to help keep us from falling into and yielding to temptation. And like we said, if you fall into temptation and you yield to it, that's your choice, the choice you've made. When we study God's word more, we find out God is not pleased with that, and we could lose our soul by doing that. And if that really plays upon our mind, then we're going to find that way of escape. See, our faith will enable us to bear whatever temptation is there. And Paul says that because God is faithful and will not suffer or allow us to be tempted above or beyond what we're able, but with the temptation make a way of escape, our faith in God's promises and provisions will make it possible. Our faith has to come into play in this. And it's something that it's not going to be an automatic. And we could probably paint a scenario where devil puts something right in front of you and you have to sit there, wonder what I'm going to do about this. No. God's faithfulness, God's already told you what is wrong. You know what's wrong. And then when you look at the temptation, you know in your mind, I better not be doing that. And if I want God to save me and give me salvation, I'm going to avoid that. Then you turn around and start looking for your escape. He tells us that we are able to bear this. And we must conclude that God has already provided everything we need to bear it. You know, and there's nothing that will get us in the way from the love of God. Romans 8, 31 and 32. And 2 Peter 1, 3, his divine mercy has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We don't need anything else. So we have all the tools we need to avoid temptation. Now you wonder, ask the question, why do we still sin? See, we have to take advantage of these provisions. And they are there. They're there for us. And we must be mindful of that. And we have to take advantage of what God has provided for us. Otherwise, we will be falling into sin. All right, when we combine his faithfulness with our faithfulness, the result is going to be victory. You ever think about it that way? When God is going to be faithful, if we're faithful to God, that's a force that the devil cannot compete with, right? He cannot successfully attack that. Because our faith is in God, and God's promise and faithfulness is there for our protection. Satan doesn't stand a chance. We are victors because of that. But we need that faith. We need that faithfulness to God. And true faith that is characterized by love and devotion to God and necessitates trusting in Him, His faithfulness and the instruction of His Word will make it possible for us to overcome the temptations of this world. We got to combine these things. I mean, it's very simple. Very simple message, very simple passage of Scripture to understand. Because of what Paul says in this verse, no one can truthfully say, I have to sin, or I can't help it, or the devil made me do it. No, there's just no way. I mean, that's a cop-out that we usually try and do. We usually try and blame somebody else. I heard a comment, somebody on the news today, of course, he was a one political party, and they asked him about a certain event taking place in the world right now, he said, well, this president has allowed blah, blah. This practice started back in World War I, but yet it's this guy's fault. So, I mean, you can't blame somebody else. If you fall into sin, you can't blame your partner, you can't blame your friend, you cannot blame your coworker, you cannot blame your schoolmate, you cannot blame anybody except yourself. And that's the way God sees it. And until we learn to see it that way, then we're going to be making excuses. We're going to be letting it fly. See, the fact is we all do sin, and thus we need forgiveness. Yet God has made provision for that too, right? He says, if you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And when our sins are forgiven, yes, we're in a right relationship with God. And then the blood of Jesus is that provision. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So a simple lesson, and the end is coming at the right time because my voice is gone. So we're going to wrap it up there. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anybody has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.